How many of you heard him say that a lot of times? Joshua. Well, let's turn to the book of Joshua tonight and look at it. I've been studying and preaching a series on the mysteries. I hold those to the side tonight. I've been trying to study the book and preach the book of 1 Corinthians. I put that to the side tonight. I'm studying the book of Romans to do that. We're in Sunday school and the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we'll hold that to the side tonight. I've been preaching out of the New Testament for a long time. And I preach out a lot out of the Old Testament. Tonight I'm going back and get something out of the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. I'm going to try to preach a few sermons or messages. A lot of difference between a sermon and a message. Amen. As I said last week, a sermon is something that might touch your mind, but a message is something that touches your heart. And so God can give us a message from the Word of God. So we're going to the book of Joshua. And I'm going to be bringing some thoughts from that book in different places and go through the book, but not verse by verse. If we spend a verse by verse study on the book of Joshua, we'd be the trumpet would sound. As Daddy used to say, the cows would come home. Amen. If they get long. So now let's look in the book of Joshua. And let's stand together tonight and read the chapter 1 and verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4. The first four verses of the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And then we'll give you an introduction to the book tonight. He said, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." I'm standing here thinking about what a responsibility God has just placed upon the shoulders of Joshua. Amen. And also thinking about what a relief it is to the shoulders of Moses. Amen. Amen. You look at that on both sides. You'd have to be standing behind the pulpit and had a little experience under you to be able to understand all that. Amen. Verse number 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." You know where that is, don't you? That's back off up toward Iraq. Amen. God said to get all that. Now they got them hemmed in, the little bitty space over there. And I understand the president's trying to keep them there. Amen. I thought, hey, it ain't going to happen. They're going to get it all one day. You can be seated and let's pray. Let's ask God's guidance. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to know and to understand the Scriptures. Help us to declare them. Lord, may we declare them plain and, Lord, that we might rightly divide the Word of truth and not take it for any private interpretation. But tonight, Lord, may we apply it as it needs to be to our hearts and life. And may we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And get us an introduction to this book to understand where this man Joshua is going and what he's been commanded to do and what a responsibility is put on his shoulder. We'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to say tonight that the maker of man's body is the same one tonight that has made the Word of God. We have the Word of God. Now, I've said that to say this. The Bible said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'll say tonight, the Word of God is fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. The voice of God's written. I look at it and, you know, man's body is in two halves. In twos, lots of it. We got two eyes. Amen. We got two ears. Amen. Start to say two tongues, but that's not so. I believe some might, but amen. Two legs. Amen. Two hands. And you just go on and on how that it is. And, you know, we have to have those parts. We put them together. And if you cut one of them out, it does something to the body. We have to have those. Now, the Word of God is made up the same way. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Amen. And all of them make one entity of a completeness. You take the Old Testament away from the New Testament and you got just part of the Word of God. You take the New Testament and throw away the Old Testament, as some do, then you've got just part of the Word of God. But you put them together, and you've got a full entity and a full canon of God's Word. Now, I don't understand everything there is to know about the Bible. Amen. I'm not even going to tell you the things I don't understand because you'll ask me the questions about it. Amen. But there's some things I don't understand and cannot comprehend. And I figure I'll straighten it out and get it straightened out with God when I get on the other side. Somebody said, you're going to ask Him? No, I'm just going to know when I get there. That's amazing. Just to know. Somebody said, I can't hardly wait to get to glory and they're going to start taking me over heaven and introduce me to everybody. I don't believe it's going to be like that. I believe you know everybody. We'll be known as we're known. Amen. I don't believe we'll have to be introduced to Moses. Amen. To Abraham, to Isaac, to Paul, or John, or Peter, all those boys. I believe we'll know them. The good thing about it is I believe they'll know me too. I know more about them and they'll know more about me tonight, but I'll tell you when we get there, they'll know me. Amen. There's no big eyes and little U's in glory. Hey, how about that? These people don't even know you tonight. Did you know that? There's people you don't know. We get the glory, we'll know everybody. I have to ask sometimes, what's your name? What's your name? What was you born? What name was given to you? And sometimes I even forget that. But I want to tell you, when you get the glory, we won't do that. Now I'm thinking about this tonight, the New Testament, the Old Testament, and we put this together. The number two is the number of witness. Number two is the number of witness. The Bible said at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall have a word be established. And then we see tonight that that's a witness. The Bible teaches that a man and a woman comes together as husband and wife. These two shall be one. That's what He says tonight. We're one flesh. And so testimony. It's a testimony. So we got the Word of God, the Old Testament, New Testament. It's a testimony that we need to study. Now each member of our body, we can't comprehend. There's glands and membranes and things that they can't understand and can't comprehend. Just like there's a lot of things in the Bible that I can't comprehend myself tonight. Amen. But let's kind of get a review. We've been over this before, but I want to get us a little start of where we are in the book of Joshua. In the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. You can put this in your notes. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. If you want to know how everything started, go to the book of Genesis. Somebody said, I looked in the textbook. Well, amen. If you didn't look in the Bible, you didn't look in the right textbook. Some of them say that we come from monkeys, we come from animals, we come from this, we come from that. And they believe that we've been evolved and we are in evolution and so forth. And we go back to the Word of God, we find out that we're made in the image of God. God formed us out of the dust of the ground, breathed in our nostrils, we became a living soul. That person, first of all, was Adam. Amen. Now, Adam's not one of my favorite characters. I like him. Amen. Because he's the first man made. But when I think about Adam, I always think about somebody as I look at him sometimes. He's the one that sold us in sin. And then, brother, when I think about Eve, she sure messes me up. Amen. Understand? But I look at some other folks. My favorite characters are some like Enoch. My favorite characters are some like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on down the line. And I thank God that I can go to the Old Testament and find this. But we find the beginnings in the book of Genesis. Historically, we'll find that there's three originations or three beginnings in the book of Genesis. Jot these down. First of all, there's the beginning of the heaven and the earth. Chapter 1, verse 1. Then there's another beginning that we find in the book of Genesis when Noah entered in the ark and after it went through the flood. Then we have the post-flood era. Brother, when they come out of the flood, there was a brand new beginning. They had to go out and start all over again, right? And then later we find that there's another beginning when God spoke to Abraham and Abraham made a nation called Israel. And we find that there is a beginning of Israel. So that's something we get to thinking about. We find the beginnings, we see all that. So we look at Genesis. Then we come down to the book of Exodus. You know what Exodus means? It means an exit, and it's a book of redemption. You remember we talked about this before? The book of Exodus is a book of redemption. It's a book of deliverance. God redeemed them in Exodus chapter number 12 through the blood. And then through that, we find that they were not only redeemed by the blood, but then they were delivered out of the land of Egypt, which is a type of our salvation. How that the blood of Christ has delivered us from our sin
and set us free and brought us out of the world. And we are brand new people and brand new creatures in Christ Jesus tonight. Praise God. Then there's another book. We come to the third book of the Bible, which is the book of Leviticus. We get to the book of Leviticus. It's a book of worship. And the worship also leads into fellowship. When we get into the book of Leviticus, and it only covers about 3 or 4 months, you read that little book. It may take some of y'all 3 or 4 months to read. It don't take long. It's not many chapters. But looking at that book, it only covers a space of about 3 or 4 months. And we'll find that it has to deal with the worship of God's people and the business of fellowship with God's people. Brother, I'll tell you when you get to see that. You understanding what I'm saying? I'm trying to lead you up to where we are with the people of God at the start of the book of Joshua. Are you with me? Now, we find that there's the next book, the book of Numbers. It's the fourth book of the Bible. Now, 4 is the number of the world. There's east, west, north, and south. There's 4 things. Amen. I'm watching that wasp, and everybody else is watching that wasp. We may have to stop him kidding so you can get your mind on what I'm preaching. I know a few of you, if that wasp heads your way, you're gone. I know. Amen. But right there he is. Watch him, and somebody get him. All right? But I'm saying to you tonight that in this book of Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, 4 is the number of the world. Amen. It's the number of the world. And so what happens in the book of Numbers, we find out how that God's people dealt with the world and how that they dealt in the world. Now listen, I'm in the world tonight. But I want to tell you, thank God, I'm not of the world. Amen. I'm in this world. I get weary in this world. One of these days I'm going to exit the world and get out of it. So I rejoice in the Lord tonight in the book of Numbers. What is it? We'll find that we'll see how the people of God operated and how they did in the world. How that they walked. You'll find practical walk of the people of God in the book of Numbers. Then we come to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is known as the second law. The 5th chapter of Deuteronomy states the law again. And we can see that. And brother, you can see that book of Deuteronomy. How that God gives them the plan. How that God gives them the Scriptures. God gives them His way of doing things. And God gives them the place and tells them what to do. And they're going without God. And we'll find the book of Deuteronomy is the bridge that brings the people of God out of the wilderness of 40 years and puts them into a land of Canaan. Amen. Isn't that where you want to be? Now somebody said Canaan's a type of heaven. Years ago I hear preachers preach and said, hey, we're going to cross the Jordan. That's what they'd say instead of crossing the Jordan. How many remember them statements? I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I'd hear them saying. Amen. But it's the Jordan and the Jordan River. Now listen, they had to cross the sea, which is a type of the world, get out of the world to get into the wilderness. But then they had to cross the river, which is a type of death, to get into Canaan's land. You hear me? Brother, let me tell you, when I got redeemed out of the world. I crossed the Red Sea. God parted the waters. And I'm saved by God's grace. Thank God. And I got in the wilderness. It took me a little while to find the place called Canaan land. Amen. Some of you hadn't found it yet. Amen. Some of y'all tonight, when someone was waving their hands and singing the songs, you're sitting there looking, what's going on? Amen. That's because you ain't got over in Canaan. Amen. That's just a happy thing. That's just a normal thing to get in Canaan. Amen. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is a type of heaven on this earth. It's a type of the joy of God. That God can give you that abundance in your heart to thrill your soul. Hey, I want to stay in Canaan. Amen. Some of y'all sent a few spies over into Canaan and checked it out. And you heard about it from some of the other saints of God. They've been over there. And they brought them grapes back out of Canaan's land. Amen. So big you had to put a spigot in, you know. Amen. To get the juice out of it. You said that's kind of real wild, isn't it, preacher? I don't know. They took one cluster of grapes and they put it on a shoulder between two men. That matter. Hey, if that's a cluster, I'd like to see the size of the grape. Amen. I've never eaten grapes. I had to slice before putting them in my mouth. But I'm wondering if some of them wasn't about that big. Hey, that's Canaan land. You understand what I'm saying? Things are abundant in Canaan land. The joy of God's great in Canaan land. Well, they come back. Some of y'all have seen the spies come back and said, hey, it's ours. Hey, well, you can have a good time in Canaan land. And you just sit there looking. Just sit there looking. Amen. You're just sitting there wondering. scratching your head, rolling your eyes. But hey, I've experienced a little bit of the joy of God in my soul. Amen. I'm not happy all the time. I ought to be. I ought to be ashamed when I ain't. Amen. I say the same thing to you. But I'll tell you, there's sometimes that the troubles come, and the trials come, and I can't shout the victory. But God wants me to be in Canaan. He don't want me to be in the wilderness. He wants me in the Canaan land. Now, Deuteronomy is the book. It's the bridge that brings us from the wilderness and gets us into a Canaan land. Amen. Now, in the end of Israel's trials, in the end of our wanderings in the wilderness, guess what happened? They started a brand new beginning in another place called Canaan. Well, we'll start that book tonight as we look into it. Now, Canaan is a free gift of God. The grace of God saved me. The grace of God keeps me. The grace of God motivates me. The grace of God stirs my soul. Brother, we are living in the grace of God in the day of grace. Amen. It's grace, grace, all grace. Nothing but grace. Amen. What's grace? God's unmerited favor to you and me. We don't deserve it. I didn't work it out. I don't earn it. I don't even deserve it, but thank God He gave it to me. Amen. Now, Canaan is God's gift to you and me. Now, looking in Exodus, we'll find that it's the natural man that's in bondage to Satan. He's crying out to God. He's wanting to be delivered. God goes down and delivers him through the man called Moses. Now, the Bible said Moses was the meekest man on the earth. You said, what made him meek? Well, you pastor about 1.5 million people and see if you won't be a little meek. Amen. You'll be meek or crazy one. Amen. I can just see him trying to lead. Can you imagine that? When I see 40, 50 people, 30, 40 people, 100 people, 200 people try to lead them in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, I just imagine what it is to put another 1 million or so on that. 1.5 million with it. Amen. What we have here, that's just a drop in the bucket to what Moses had to contend with. They had to be pretty good folks. Because pretty good folks can give you some trouble sometimes. Say amen right there. Amen. Can you imagine? And I just think this sometimes. I sit back and think. I said, boy, wouldn't it be nice if one Sunday morning that we came to church, we opened that door back there, and here walked in one saying, glory to God, I'm glad I'm at the house of God. And then the second come in, I shook the hand. They said, glory to God, I'm glad I'm at the house of God. Number three comes in and said, glory to God, I'm glad I'm at the house of God. And number four comes in, and it on and on it goes to right before church time starts. Brother, everybody said, I'm glad I'm at the house of God. You see a smile on their face. Amen. I've seen a smiley face from ear to ear. I'd be trying to find myself a back door because I've never seen that happen before. But wouldn't it be glorious if it did? Amen. Somebody get in and said, praise God for Jesus. And everybody started praising God. Amen. Well, that's what God wants us to have. Moses didn't have that either. But here they are. They gripe, they grumble, they complain, they murmured. And he put up with it. He went before God. No wonder. No wonder he smote the rock twice. I'm not saying tonight he's justified in doing so. No wonder he did it. Amen. Because he got aggravated at them. Because he would not follow God. Have any of you, and I said this morning, I mentioned it, any of you had children, have you ever got the place that you just about ready to pull your hair out because your children wouldn't do right? Yeah. Can you imagine how that was? Brother, I'll tell you, that's the way God is sometimes looking at it. And He feels about the way we do things. God help us tonight. Wouldn't it be good if we just get in and start swinging the bat and going like God wants it? Well, let's go on. We're looking here in the book of Exodus. We get over in the book of Leviticus and we find now that God has redeemed us and He's been speaking. He's shown us how to worship. He's shown us how to walk. He's shown us how it is to get where we need to be. Then we get over in the book of Deuteronomy and God says, I want to teach you. I want to train you. I want to show you what you need to do. And guess what? Brother, God blesses and He shows us all that. Now, I want us to look at something. In chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, the Bible said, and it begins to explain it in verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now in this verse, we find out that God buries His workmen, but His work goes on. When I leave this scene, And I leave the walk of life here in this life. I'm here to tell you, somebody will fill my shoes. Amen. They may be different than me, but they'll be somebody. God will always have somebody to carry on the work. Understand that? If you pray and seek the face of God. Now I want to tell you something. As old Moses comes in, he's dead now, and he's got to get somebody. But did you know God has already put in training? He's already been setting him up a man. He's already got him somebody that can go and do it. His name is Joshua. And I want to talk about Joshua just for a minute as we look at these things and see it tonight. Amen. And as we look at it, first of all, when we get into Canaan land, somebody said, that's where the glory is. We can shout it out. We'd have a good time all the time. Hey, actually, Canaan was a type of going into the battle and fighting. They had to fight the good fight of faith before they could get into the land of Canaan flowing with milk and honey. Right here at the first chapter, the first verse of Joshua, they're not in Canaan land yet. Amen. They're still in the wilderness. And God said, if you will, read with me tonight, verse number 2, Moses, my servant is dead, now therefore arise. Now what did he say in the next sentence? Go over this Jordan. In other words, you can't get there yet. You've still got to cross the river. Now, crossing the river is a type of dying unto self. You've got to die to self to get into Canaan land. Amen. It's dying and putting yourself down and getting over in the place where God wants you. So now, no, they've got to cross the river in verse number 2. He's saying, Joshua, get up and go. Now, we'll find this is still a little few more verses of chapter 2 before they get into that land. God's got some things going on here. But I want you to look at this. The first mention of Joshua. Let's look at him for just a minute. The first mention of Joshua is found in Exodus chapter 17. Turn. Let's look at what we can see about Joshua. Joshua chapter 17. Now there is a battle fixing to go on. They're going to fight with Amalek. I preached on Amalek before. I don't know whether you remember it or not. But Amalek is a type of the flesh. And so they're going to fight. Now they're down in the battle. Moses is the man of God in charge. The Bible said in verse number 10 of chapter 17, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we find now that Joshua is a mighty warrior. Amen. And we find that Aaron and Hur are the people who helped the man of God. Brother, I'll tell you what, there's a blessing in those who hold up and help the man of God. Amen. You want to be blessed? Just bless the men of God. Amen. If they're preaching the truth of God, you ought to bless them. Amen. I'm not looking for a pat on the shoulder. I'm just telling you that's what God commands you to do. And so we find that Aaron and Hur held the man of God's arms up, and Joshua went down as the mighty warrior. Now remember Joshua. He's the one who's done the work for God here now. The second time we find him mentioned, turn into Exodus chapter 24. Let's go over to chapter 24. We're going to study the Scriptures just a little bit, and let's find a little bit more about Joshua. Now we get to Joshua, or Exodus chapter 24, look at verse number 13. And Moses, the Bible said, rose up, and his minister Joshua. He's a minister now. Amen. Sometimes they ask me, they say, are you a minister? Well, that depends on what you're talking about. Amen. Somebody said, are you a preacher? Or a teacher? Or a man of the cloth? And I realize what they're saying today. Brother, a preacher of today is not what a preacher was 20 years ago. Amen. Anybody can just mutter out a few words today's called a preacher. Amen. If a preacher, somebody can preach. Amen. So we find tonight, he said, and Moses rose up, and his minister who? Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God. We find that the man of God's now going up into the mountain. He's going to get the Ten Commandments. And Joshua is his minister. What is he? He's his assistant. He is the one that God is training to take the place. Now, nobody may have known that Moses is going to pass off the scene. Probably wasn't paying much attention to it. But God, over a period of years, took this young man. And how long did God train Joshua? Amen. Think about that just a minute. Somebody said, I don't know how long you trained him. Well, where did he get his start at? Where was Joshua when it all started? He's in Egypt, come out of Egypt. Amen. Yes, sir. You know how I know? There was two men, and I'm going to give you the scripture on this in just a little while. There's two men called Caleb and Joshua, and God buried all the rest of them, and He said, I'm going to bring me up another generation. And God buried the old ones that were, 20 years old and up. Amen. He left the younger ones. And so Joshua and them were in that crowd, and God brought them on. So they was in the whole 40 years as the wilderness, some portion of that. And so at the end of that 40 years, here they are. Joshua standing out there. Why? Why did God spare them? Because they wholly followed the Lord. I'll give you the scriptures on it in just a little bit. But now we find in this verse 13, He said, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua went, and Moses went up into the mount of God. Look with me in verse 18. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and get him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now what am I saying? I'm saying that Moses, he left Joshua down at the bottom, because he said in verse 14, and then said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you, and if any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And so we find that Joshua was alongside. He was somewhere in the shadows. And for 40 days and 40 nights, God put Joshua to the test, and he proved the test, and come back down off the mountain, and he said, hey, I hear the sound of war. Moses said, it's not sound of war, it's rejoicing. And he came down and found out that they were dancing naked before a golden calf. And Aaron said, I just throwed this gold in, and this is what come out. He reminds me of a Baptist deacon. Amen. For a lack of a better term, amen. They just sometimes get it all twisted. But anyhow, we find that here he is. He's been put to the test. Now go with me, please, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Look in the book of Numbers. Numbers is the book of their walking in the world. How that they did for God. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 16. Look here. Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 16. And he's got a list of the people. Look at verse 16. It said, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. Now we know that Joshua and Caleb was two of the men that went into the land of Canaan and brought back the report. They were of them spies. You remember that? And Joshua and Caleb said, we can take the land. We can take it. And 10 of them said, we can't take it. We look like grasshoppers. Amen. But Caleb and Joshua said, we can do it. We can do it. God's going to give us strength to do it. They were what I call the minority report. And the majority wins. Didn't you know when you vote, majority always wins? Amen. But the majority is not always right. Amen. Prove that by our elections. Amen. That's all I'll say about that. Amen. But guess what happened to him? Brother, he stayed for God. But look in verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea. Look at that word Oshea for a minute. And he said, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Amen. If I'm saying it right. Now you get that? Now look at this. We find that Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And he sent them. Now this person Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, is the same as Joshua. Now you look at that. You look at this scripture, you'll find out, brother, it's a blessing. Now the word Oshea means salvation. That word Jehoshua means whom Jehovah will save. Now if you take that word Joshua tonight, where we get that word Joshua, when you put it in, if you look at that, when you transfer it over into the Greek, amen. Now you know our words of the Elias, E-L-I-S. In the Old Testament, in the Old Testament Hebrew, it's Elijah. You get into the New Testament, it's Elias out of the Greek. Because that's the way the spellings are. When you bring Joshua to the Greek, and you begin to look at that, it's going to say Jesus, Savior. So the Joshua of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. He is the Savior, the Redeemer, the one to bring through, or a type of the Redeemer. Now, brother, when you get to that, it blesses my heart to see it. So this Joshua, God is bringing on to take care of Moses when he's gone. You'll see that. We'll find out that Joshua was ordained. Look at Numbers, please, chapter 27. Let's look and see this man that's wrote this book. Amen. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 27, or Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Numbers 27, verse 18. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. So he charges him. But look at verse 23, for the sake of time. And he laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now we find that Moses here has ordained Joshua into the work of God. He's laid his hands on him. Amen. You don't find that in some of the others. You find him laying his hand. Why? God is preparing this young man to take the job after Moses is gone. Amen. So you keep on reading. You'll see these things happen. Look at chapter 32, please. Numbers chapter 32. Look at verse 11 and 12. Numbers 32, verse 11, said, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. That's what I told you I was going to show you in a minute. You see, God said these two are going to come out. Brother, all the rest of them, brother, they're the seniors now, if you will. Who are they? We've got Moses. Aaron dies off the scene. He's gone. His sons are gone. And now we've got Caleb and we've got Joshua. Brother, those are the seniors now that God has spared and brought into the first chapter of the book of Joshua. So you see what's happening. And old Joshua stood firm. He stood fearless. Brother, he didn't fall into apostasy. He stayed with God. Brother, God delivered him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. Amen. You'll find this. You'll find him mentioned for the last time in the Pentateuch, or the five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The five books of the Bible. First five books. Notice what God says the last time in these five books to Joshua, about Joshua. Joshua chapter 34 and verse number 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had what? Laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. He's automatically taken in. You see what's happened? Moses has just been smothered to death by the love of God in chapter 34. God has just buried him. Amen. Somehow, somebody said, I don't know about all that. Somehow I just believe. I look at this and I said this lots of times. I believe God said, now come on, Moses. I know you've been a good servant, but you know you failed me. You smote the rock. Instead of speaking to it the second time, you smote that thing. You guys, same as crucifying Christ afresh in you the second time, which you can't do. And God said, but I'll tell you what I will do. I won't let you go into that land, but I'll let you get a little sneak peek of it. Amen. Can you imagine that? And he goes up on the mountain, looks over. God said, look down there, Moses. Isn't that a good land? Can't you just see the heart of old Moses dropping? Said, hey, I sure would like to go. I've been in the wilderness with this crowd for 40 years. Can you just imagine? He said, hey, they've given me trouble. We've had all kinds of troubles and trials. Lord, I'd sure like to go over, but I know I messed up. I know I messed up. And God said, all right, look it over. Look it over good. And he did. Somehow I just believe somebody said, what happened? I believe God took old Moses and put him up in his bosom and just hugged him up and loved him to death. And he died right there and God buried him. Amen. He said, what do you think? Amen. I don't have no scripture on that, but you don't have nothing to argue with me either. I do know that God didn't say he beat him on the head and killed him. He didn't pull a gun out and shoot him. He didn't kick him. Amen. How do you think God does? God just stopped his heart and said, come on, Moses, I love you. Hugged him up and he's gone. Amen. That's about the way I'd like to go. How about you? Amen. Wouldn't you like to do that? I'd like to go to bed one night and never wake up and go on into glory.
Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't even want to die. Well, I'm ready. See, that's the difference between me and you. You said, preacher, I'm ready too. Yeah, I know you are, but you're not looking for the next load. I'd like to see the next load. It wouldn't bother me. Amen. Here, there, in the air. It don't make much difference. Be absent in the body, be present with the Lord. Thank God. I'd like to hang around a long time, but I'm ready to go. Amen. I'm not scared of dying. I hadn't tried out a casket. I was in Alabama one time preaching a funeral, and I was a little early. I didn't know the time change. And so I wanted to make sure I got on time, and I was an hour early. Matter of fact, I was 2 hours early. I didn't know anybody in Birmingham, Alabama. I didn't even know where I was at. I just found that particular place, the funeral home, and there I was. Family hadn't showed up. I didn't know where they lived. I just called to preach that funeral. I went over to preach that funeral. But the lady died in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where she went back home. And I didn't know anything about her family much. And so I went there, and they just got a new load of caskets in. And I was walking around the place, and just rolled them in and had them over there. And they had them opened up. I was checking them all out. And I walked up and kind of looked into one or two, and he said, you want to try one of them out? I said, no, thank you. He said, look, they plush. I said, that's all right. I don't want to try it out. I have never tried one out. I've looked at a few of them and said, it's pretty, but I don't think they're pretty enough for me. Amen. I don't like them. Amen. Never seen one yet I liked. I've seen some, hey, they look pretty good, but I'm not looking for that. Amen. I'm looking for the upper taker, not the undertaker. I don't want to go to the grave, but amen, I do want to go to heaven. And if I have to go by the way of the grave, that's fine. If I go to sleep at night, that's fine. Staying in the pulpit preaching, that's fine. Staying one front of these presses down here to run it, that's fine. Amen. I'd rather do that as anything I know. God just loved me today and take me on into glory. But guess what? He said Joshua then took over. In verse number 9. Now we get a little bit further. We find something else. These two verses in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua tells us tonight that God bears His men. His work keeps a continuing, and God's got to set them straight and put them in there. Now we find Joshua has a new work to do. He's facing something he's never faced before. Brother, you may face something tomorrow that you've never faced before. Can I tell you tonight, you don't know what tomorrow brings. It may be fine with you tonight. Everything may be going all right. Everything may be going good. But tomorrow, tragedy may come your way. What are you going to do then? Are you going to be equipped and ready to take care of business when it happens? There's a lot of things that I've thought of. You know how a man is. My wife's always been bad about that. She'll say, what if? And I said, what if what? She said, what if this happens? And I said, I don't know. We'll wait till we get there and see. She said years ago, she said, you know, what if we get cancer? Amen. And I said, well, we'll wait till we get cancer and then we'll study about it. I'm not going to run up and down the road worrying about what might happen and then lose my victory today. Amen. There's enough slapped on me that I can't get away from. Amen. What if this happens? And my mother-in-law, I believe she taught it to her. I know she did. She was a worry wart. She worried about everything. I wish I'd remembered this morning when her other daughter was here. Amen. And I used to tell her, I said, Bertha Lou, you worry too much. And I said to her a lot of times, you worry about things that you don't know will ever take place. Why you waste your time worrying about it? What if old car won't crank tomorrow? What if they lay me off at the job? What if they fire me? What if I get sick? What if I break my leg? Now some of y'all grinning, some of y'all been there. And tell me looking at you. Amen. And I said, what you do, you worry every day of your life. And you worry about things that's never going to take place probably. Don't worry about them until they happen. God's grace will be sufficient when you get there to take you through every trial that He'll put you before. I guarantee that. He will. Praise God, that one verse of Scripture I've been claiming for the last 6-8 weeks. On the biggest load I've ever carried in my life. And I'm going to tell you, for the last 6-8 weeks, I've been
saying, Lord, you said you wouldn't put us under any more than what we was able to bear, but you'd make a way of escape. And I still tell you tonight, He'll still do it. He's done it before. He's doing it now. He'll do it again. God's not going to put me under any more than I can bear. God knows my breaking point. So I'd look at her and I'd say, well, if you get to the place, she said, today she'll say, I'm doing all right. And I said, uh-oh, you ain't worried? And I tell her, I say, you'd worry because you didn't have nothing to worry about. If you didn't have nothing to worry about, you'd worry about that. And I've seen church members like that. Byron, I can check your fingernails tonight and see how much you worry. Amen. You ladies done you messed me up. You done been down there and glued you up for your 4 or 5 on. I'll guarantee you tonight, I hadn't looked at none of you ladies' fingers. But I guarantee some of you got some fake nails on tonight. I'm not going to check and see, but I'll guarantee you, no doubt there's somebody in here got some glued on. You done chewed the others off. Some of you men, you ever see him? I don't worry about nothing, preacher. Amen. I looked at some folks. I had to cut mine this morning. My boys look at my hands. Every one of them say, preacher. I said, Daddy, cut them ugly-looking fingers. They look like women's claws. And I have to cut them. They roll. And I don't chew them. I ain't nervous. Amen. You get old men like me, you ain't got no teeth to cut them with nohow. Amen. That wasn't meant to be funny, but I'm telling you tonight, there's some folks that work, young folks, you ever seen young people? Look at their fingernails. Chewing them off. They're in the quick. Amen. Sometimes they'll say, I can't get the, they're trying to pick up a dime. And they go like that, trying. Finally they have to just break it off. Now if you can't pick up a dime tonight with your fingernails, you got problems. But I'm not going to spend my time worried about something that ain't happened yet. I do enough of it. It comes around and I try to pass it off. Hey, it ain't happened. Hey, my wife said that. They said, we need to trade cars. This is getting old. I said, why? It still runs. She said, it's liable to quit. I said, hey, when it quits, we'll get it fixed. Might be out on the side of the road. I said, I know what the wrecker's number is. Amen. And I know some church members that's got cars. Amen. I know a mechanic or two around here too. Amen. Sorry. But that don't stop me. I want to tell you tonight, we just keep on praising God. Joshua passed the test. He's standing here to get a new job. God may put something new on you tomorrow. I'm trying to prepare you to face it. It's going to take the grace of God to get you through everything. Did you know that? It may take the death of somebody to put you in a new realm, and that's what happened to Joshua. Moses had to die to get Joshua involved. Amen. He's already ready. You know, isn't it amazing that God knows how to train us? Amen. Have you ever been put on a job down there and you get a promotion and the first thing you say is, I hope I can handle it. I hope I can do it. Amen. You get a promotion and you say, whew, well, what a responsibility placed on my shoulders. And you fret and you worry yourself to death. Did you know God knew what you was able to do before He put you there? Amen. You go on these jobs and they say, tomorrow I'm going to put you on a brand new machine you ain't ever run before. Virgil, you've been there. You say, what am I going to do? Amen. Don't worry about it. God that puts you there can help you. Amen. I know how that feels back yonder when God called me to preach. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to preach. And you know what? He knew that then, and He knows that tonight. Amen. And I still know that. I know God knows how to do it, though, not me. So I praise God for it. He can put us in new horizons and new occupations and new parts of life. Now, Joshua, and I want to leave this tonight. This is where I'm going to leave this book of Joshua. Joshua now has a brand new job. He's starting with a people, same people he's known,
And now he's got to get them where God wants them to be. Now, what about that? That's a responsibility. And that humbles me tonight. You know, it's my responsibility tonight to get you where God wants you to be. Some of y'all ain't crossed the river yet. Some of y'all still running up and down the wilderness. Some of you still griping and grumbling and complaining. Some of you still murmuring. Not me, preacher. It sure got quiet. Amen. Where's the shout now? Amen. God wants us to cross the river. And He wants us to get that up. And it's my job as a pastor, as the man of God, to preach to you the truth and the Word of God to get you to Canaan's land. That's my job. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what. It's going to take the grace and hand of God, because I can't do it alone. And neither will you get there either alone. It's going to take the hand and the grace of God to get you there. Amen. Heads bowed. Joshua, he was one of them. I guess he's one of them. One of the not the favorite characters. I don't know what the favorite character of the Bible would be to me. You said Jesus. Well, I'm not talking about. I'm talking besides Jesus. Probably Paul of the New Testament, Elijah the Old, but Joshua comes right in line with me to thinking about the victories that Joshua had. And if you'll study the book of Joshua, brother, I'll tell you what. He knew he had the discernment. He had the spirit of. Did you hear tonight when I read it? He had the spirit of what? Wisdom. You remember in the Sunday school this morning, I said, I wish I had the spirit of discernment. That's what we need. We need to have that spirit of wisdom from God, that we know how to do, what to do, when to do it, and the way to do it. Amen. Let's stand while they play. You may need the altar. Maybe God's going to face you with another trial, a new horizon. Are you ready tonight to face it with all your heart? To be what God wants you to be? How about it? Altar's open. Come and talk to Him about it. God's been training you for a while. He's been working on you for a while. How about it?